Let us repent now with not hypocritical faith, but with solid faith, firm conviction that through that strength and good deeds and a good work, the muscle you don't lose, if you don't use, you lose. You heard the expression, what you don't use, you lose. The muscle you don't use, you lose. And the whole human being organ, the whole life organ, we call the whole person, it ain't nothing but a muscle. It ain't nothing but a muscle. What I mean by that? It has ability to exert itself, to go forward, to exert itself, to respond, to act. The whole life, if a thing is not acting, it's dead. If it doesn't have the ability to act, it's called dead. So we want to describe what is life. It's the ability to act. So you, by that kind of symbolic description I've given, you're a muscle. Your whole life is a muscle. You might call it willpower. The ability to act, initiative, whatever you want to call it, but it operates as a muscle. And if you don't use it, you lose it. The less you use it, the weaker it gets. And eventually, it collapsed, unable to do anything. And some of us in this world, because we haven't used our good mind and our good impulses, our urges, we have neglected to use or respond to our good impulses, our good urges. We don't have the power now to act on anything. We're too weak to say something against wrong. We're too weak to act with our hands. We're too weak to even speak out against it. Why? Because we have been so long in the habit of not using that muscle that that muscle has totally collapsed. Don't you know there are people in the hospital who were put in there for one ailment? But because they had to be confined to the bed for such a long time, they then became invalid. Can't stand up. Can't raise up. They've been confined to the bed so long, all their muscles have collapsed. They've become just like the newborn infant. Just totally helpless. Why? Because they were not using their muscles. So if you go to the hospital, you think, you know, no matter how painful it is, they don't want you to stay in the bed too long. They say, sorry, you got to get up. And they will get you up and make you walk. They will walk with you. If you're in real bad shape, sometimes they even help hold you up. They carry part of the weight for you. But they make you use those muscles a little bit each day. Because they don't want you to collapse and become an invalid. Now, if you can see that as a sign of what happens to you spiritually, when you don't use your spiritual urge to do what is right, then you can understand how this society is so weak, so infantile in their ability to respond as human beings and adults to the crimes that are going on in this world. And I don't mean those that the law authorized to handle. I'm talking about what's going on in your heart, in your mind, in your babies, and you watching it and not pulling them back from it. Yes. People are people, it ain't no big thing. Correcting this world is no big thing. It's a matter of you first correcting your attitude. That's all it is. That's the big thing with correcting the world. It's a matter of you having the spirit, the willpower, the spirit, the urge, the good urge, to just change your mental attitude. But what is it said also in the Quran? Allah Most High says,
Never will he change the state of a people until they first change the attitudes of their heart.
Oh God, please, do something for us. The Negro ain't never had a chance. Every time we get a new president we think gonna do us some good, God, we get disappointed. Oh God, why don't you help the Negro? Why don't you help us black folks? Oh Lord, don't leave us long like this.
Your dress is not kosher. Your food is not kosher. Your drink is not kosher. Your attitude is not kosher in the world. You have become submerged. You are flooded, inundated by that that is not kosher. How can you get an answer? Allahu Akbar. Praise be to Allah Most High. Peace and blessings upon His servant, the last of the prophets, Muhammad, and upon his companions, his descendants, his companions. Be peace upon the righteous, all of them. And we ask His blessings to our community that we become the answer to that call made by Allah in the Quran, where He asked for a community to come up out of the community. He asked for a community to come out of the community. A community calling to all that is good, resisting all that is forbidden or bad. And again in another place, a community not fearing the mocking criticism of the criticizer. And I think the greatest test for believers in religion and God, religious people today, is that test. The test to stand up in the world and not be shamed by the world for standing up in the image that Allah has ordained for us. Allah has ordained that we stand up in Muslim form. To do that sometimes bring the criticism, the ridicule, the laughter from those who would like to shame us out of our excellent Muslim conduct. Yes. So we have to forge forward, press forward, and we have to wear our religion with pride. I don't mean with arrogance, but I mean with a sense of its worth, with a correct sense of its worth. Don't you know there ain't a man walking, there ain't a brand of life, a brand of religion, or a brand of life that any man has that should make me think that mine is inferior or should make me feel ashamed? Yes, no, mine is most excellent. And if you're wearing something excellent, then it must be like mine or next to mine. It can't be better than mine. It can only be mine or something inferior. This is the kind of attitude the Muslim is supposed to have. And if Allah has asked of us that we don't follow the fads of this society, Allah has given us a Muslim attitude, a Muslim course to follow. Allah has given us a Muslim life. Allah has given us a Muslim permanence. Allah has given us a Muslim culture and a permanence. What is permanence? It doesn't change. It's not subject to what is happening in the political environment or in the business environment or in the cultural environment or in Hollywood or in Morehouse, in the record industry. It's not subject to be affected by those things that are happening in the world's mind and in the world's life. It has its own permanence. No matter what come out in Hollywood, no matter what come out in Morehouse,
from the record industry, no matter what come out from Paris or England or New York for my clothes style, I have a permanence. I have a form. I have a life form. I have a culture. I have a spiritual form. I have a rational form. I have a physical form. I have a cultural form. I have a lifestyle that must be permanent. It can't change with the fattest winds of this world. That's what we have to understand. We have a permanence, and we ought to wear it with dignity. Wear it with dignity. Walk humble, but carry a big stick. And let the world know that we don't cower. We don't knuckle under and cower because you say this is popular, this is in, and what you have is out. We say we have permanence. What we have is always in, and yours is temporary. It comes in and goes. You are a bunch of trancing whores. You're here for the moment. You'll be gone next week. But I am faithful. I remain faithful. I'm not a whore. I remain faithful to the Lord. What I have today is what I have 100 years to come. That's the attitude. That's the conviction. That's the attitude. And that's the decision that you must make and make it known to those who want to break your spirit. Let them know that I wear this because it is my choice. And I know I got the best. And if anybody should be snubbing somebody, I should be snubbing you. But my religion is too dignified for me to go around snubbing you and belittling you and laughing at your weaknesses and laughing at your ignorance. My religion is too dignified for that. But if anybody should be snickering and laughing and mocking at something, it should be us doing it to the world. Because they are in a hell of a shape. The world is in a critical, laughable condition. If you want to laugh. But if you really understand it, it's a crying, it's a pitiful crying state that the world is in. So don't fear nothing. Sisters, wear your dress down to your ankles. Wear your clothes loose. Keep your dress down to your ankles. Cover up your breast. Don't do anything that this world does out of lust or out of desire for vulgarity. Stand up as a dignified human creature in the name of Allah and be the form that Allah wants you to be and tell the world, I am protected by God and His angel. You can't touch me. They can't upset our peace. Allah ensures our peace. They can't shame us or belittle us or intimidate us to make us cower or knuckle under and conform to their ways. Not if we are obedient to Allah. Not if our faith is right. No. Nothing they can bring to shake our faith. No, indeed. They won't shame us. They shame themselves. The right attitude, obedience to God, you know what it means? It means better personal life. It means better mind, better peace of mind. You know what else it means? It means more money. It means better conditions at home. It means better prepared children for the world. It means higher worth as a community. Higher worth in the world's eye as a people. It means dignity indeed. That's what it means. We wonder, how come our race have made all these efforts to dignify itself, all of these efforts to pull its strength together, all of these efforts to rise up out of the inferiority that slavery dropped us into, and still we are second class or an inferior class people, totally dependent economically and politically on the other people who have been established, the Irish, the Italians, whoever, the Jews, and all the others. We are totally dependent on them. And we say, why? Why? It's because we live in the windy environment of this world's trap. this world has a trap. It's looking for all those who are not anchored, all those who are not rooted, all those who are not, who haven't conformed to an independent discipline. It's looking for those. It's looking for all the straying sheep. It's looking for all of those who drifted away from the pattern of life God intended for them. It's looking for those. And all of those that are outside of a discipline and orientation that is descriptively, independently theirs, they are helpless in this world. And you can get into politics, you can speak, what the heck? That's only a level of this world's life form. That's one level of it. Politics up in the air and on earth. And the Belalian, he can't speak on a political platform that's in the earth because he doesn't have any substance, any resources of his own. So his political platform is in the air. All right? His economics, too, is in the air. His economics is nothing but circulation of money. It's not creation of money. His economics is the circulation of money and not the creation of money. So his economical is voiced in economics. It's where? In the air. The whole social life or the whole community life of the African American is in the air. So what chance you got? None at all. When you speak, you say, oh yes, there are some waves on the air. They pick them up. What is it, Howard? Say, Howard, how do you handle it? Well, you know, airwaves. Airwaves. You handle it with air, George. Haven't you learned that all this time we've been dealing with this situation? And you haven't yet learned, George, that when it's on the air, you handle it with air. So whatever we do is an air situation. Whatever we protest, whatever our protest is, it's a protest from an air situation. You ain't never on the ground. You ain't never in the ground. You ain't never on the ground. You're not even anchored in the sky. You're just floating on the wind. That is given to seasonal influences. Right, you're just floating on the wind, given to seasonal influences. You know? What I mean by you're not anchored in the sky, we see things in the sky seem to be pretty constant. The sun, the moon, the heavenly body, they have their own discipline, they have their own form up there, and they remain pretty constant. But in the wind, you don't see nothing remaining too constant. Except for certain migratory birds and things who, you know, in spite of the wind, they know where they're going. But the poor so-called Negro, that African-American, he just haven't followed any instinctive patterns yet. He's caught up in the faddish air of the environment, and all he can do is send out wind alarms. And the establishment say, well, here's an air situation again. Well, how are you going to handle it, George? With air. With air. Praise be to Allah. So let us get ourselves together and know that we got the best. And we do not compromise. We do not sell ourselves cheap. We have one who buys us, and that's Allah. And he says, he invites us to come into a bargaining that will surely benefit you. And what is that bargain? That you remain devoted to Allah, obedient to Him, and that you give up the worldly interest for His pleasure. It includes being willing to put distance between yourself and your children, if necessary, for Allah's sake. It includes being willing to put distance between you and your worldly achievements, if necessary, your conveniences, the new Cadillac that the company lets you ride, drive on weekdays, off days. Some of us drive nice Cadillac, nice big cars that the company let us use on off days, you know. Don't know that those days, so we take it home with us too, you know. So we take the car home, and the neighbors see that big, brand new, $14,000 car sitting out there, and we feel so proud. We feel so good. Our neighbors seeing us get out of that $14,000 car and be walking out. We'll never tell the neighbors the company. That's the company's car. What is it? The company car. You know, we have to be willing to separate from even those things. From children, from goods, from all dependence on things of this world. Sometimes your child is the greatest obstacle in your way of progress. You got a child that you say needs me. I can't go to Mister. If I go, these children, they need me. Oh, I can't give to Zakat. These children, they just need so much. They need clothes, they need. Those who spend in times of ease and those who spend in times of hardship. Oh, yes, I can't do that. I'm not supposed to give anyway. Because after all, my means are so meager. Giving is for Herbert, the Imam's brother. And giving ain't for me. I ain't got nothing to give. I got to take care of these children. And then for some of us, it's the husband-wife situation. Oh, Brother Imam, Allah knows I want to help the Master. But He won't tell you the rest of it. But I visit my Qibla every night at home. I can't let the Imam know I got a second Qibla. And it's the same situation for some of the sisters. All those sisters are a little bit stronger than us, you know, when it comes to that sex slavery. Sisters are a little bit stronger than we are, you know. But some of the sisters too. That pimp, she just can't let him go. She got to go make her Qibla. Got to go to her Qibla. I wish if this nigga wasn't in my life, Allah, I show you I could be a good Muslim sister. Let us pull our lives together. What Allah has given us as a human being, that definition of us that is human, is too precious, too valuable for us to cheapen ourselves by going around here being slaves to things other than Allah. Let us pull ourselves together, be honorable servants of God, and Allah will bless us. And we pray for His guidance always, and that He give us the strength and the guidance to live honorably as Muslims and never shirk and never bow under the pressures of this world or to the pressures of this world. Ameen.
مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين الله أكبر
الله أكبر
سبحان الله
سبحان الله
سبحان الله
سبحان الله